This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
The word is paradox, P-A-R-A-D-O-X. I doubt seriously that many people, I don't say that, you know, condescendingly at all, but I doubt many people use the word paradox in your conversation, including myself. The word paradox is a word we don't use, but it means something that is contrary to common sense. It's true. There are things in life that are contrary to common sense. They don't make sense, but they're true. A woman told me in first service, she said, I'm married to a paradox. And I said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to know. I don't want to talk to you about it. But her husband, she said, was contrary to common sense, but he was real and he was there. So I guess that's what she meant. I'm going to talk to you today about one of the most paradoxical statements in all of the Bible, and I really mean that. Where the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians that God makes his strength manifest in our weakness, that God will do something in your weaknesses in life, physical weaknesses, emotional weakness, psychological weakness, and spiritual weakness. And God says, I'll work in that to demonstrate or manifest my strength, God's strength. That's paradoxical. It doesn't make sense. It's contrary to common sense. You see, we live in a culture today where everybody puts their strengths on their resume and they put their strengths on their job application and we put our strengths on Facebook and everything. We want people to know our strength. And God says, I'll do more in your weakness than you would ever think I would do in your strengths. That's the irony. And that's the paradox of what we're reading today in 2 Corinthians. Today, the last message in this series from 2 Corinthians called Through the Looking Glass. We're in 2 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 7, a second look at weakness today. Verse 7, Paul says this, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. I'm going to talk about what that means. Paul is talking about some revelations God gave him. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger or emissary of Satan to torment me. Three times, underline that if you underline in your Bible, three times I begged the Lord, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. For when I am weak, I am strong. I want to start with this mental experiment with you. I don't want you to think about your strengths at all. I want you to list in your mind's eye the weaknesses in your life physically. Start physically. How are you limited physically? Emotionally, how are you limited? Spiritually, how are you limited? Maybe psychologically or mentally limited. And then I want you to think about those just for a moment and then make the point, not from me, but from the Word of God, that today God may be saying, I'm going to do something through those weaknesses in your life that you could never do on your own through your strength. That's the lesson today. God will do more in your strength or your weaknesses than you would ever think you could do through your strengths. Let's look at verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. What's he talking about? If you read earlier in the chapters, Paul had what some people would call today a near-death experience. Well, so begins our last message in the series Through the Looking Glass from the book of 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 12 all this week. Looking at God working in our weaknesses, that's a thought that doesn't make sense to most people in the United States of America, but it's true spiritually. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Now then, today, part two of the last message from the series called Through the Looking Glass. It's taken from 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 12 this week, verses 7 through 10, where Paul makes the contradictory, paradoxical statement that God will do more through our weaknesses than we would ever consider doing through our strengths. Doesn't make sense, does it? Let's listen to part two today. Let's look at verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. What's he talking about? If you read earlier in the chapters, Paul had what some people would call today a near-death experience. There are people who think Paul had a near-death experience and he had a vision of heaven. He uses the term in chapter 12, third heaven. I never knew what third heaven meant, let alone first and second heaven. First heaven had to do with the sky. When you go outside the building today and you look up and see the clouds, that's first heaven. Second heaven, I think the way I would interpret it is what's out in space at night, the stars and the moon, the planets that you're able to see either with a telescope or with the naked eye. And the third heaven would be heaven, what we traditionally call biblical heaven. But that's what he's talking about. And I believe that God gave him a vision of heaven, just like people today claim to have a vision of heaven. What's my point? Paul said, I could become conceited because I could tell people, you know, I've had a vision that you haven't seen. I've had a revelation to my spirit about heaven, and boy, you guys would just be amazed if you saw what I saw. And he said, to keep me from being conceited, verse 7, because of these great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Different Bible commentators say different things. Some people think it was epilepsy. Some people thought he had an eye problem. Some people thought it was some physical ailment. Some people thought it was an enemy, a physical person. One guy said, even though the Bible says he wasn't married, somebody suggested it was his wife. Be careful. Don't ever call your wife, and I really mean this, don't ever call your wife your thorn in the side. And don't ever call your husband your thorn for this reason. It's pretty serious business. Because to call somebody that, what Paul was saying, is something that was debilitating. Something that haunted him. Something that made his life rough and made life earnest for him. So don't ever term your spouse as your thorn, because it really is not a funny thing. Paul said, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. And whatever it was, verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Everybody can relate to verse 8, because there's been something in your life financially, there's something physically, something emotionally, something in your marriage, something that's going on with one of your children. You said, God, please get me out of this deal. Get me out of this place we're at in our marriage. Get us out of this place we are financially. And you know what I mean, and you have pleaded with the Lord. Everybody can relate to that. But what's intriguing is not his statement in verse 8. What's intriguing is verse 9. But he said to me, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know what? I know there are men here today in all three services that say, I don't believe that. And I understand that. There are women in all three services today. I just can't buy that. Max Lucado is from San Antonio, Texas. He says this, one of the best Christian writers there is, in my opinion. Can I speak, or may I speak candidly with you for a few moments? For some of you, the journey has been long and stormy. Well, we will read this piece from Max Lucado in its entirety tomorrow on CrossHope. Remember, our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening. Max Lucado is from San Antonio, Texas. He says this, one of the best Christian writers there is, in my opinion. Can I speak, or may I speak candidly with you for a few moments? For some of you, the journey has been long and stormy. In no way do I wish to minimize the difficulties that you've had to face along the way. Some of you have shouldered burdens that few of us could carry. You have said goodbye to lifelong partners. You have been robbed of lifelong dreams. You have been given bodies that can't sustain your spirit. You have spouses who can't tolerate your faith, and you're tired. It's hard for you to see the city in the midst of the storm. You want to go on, but some days the road seems so lost. Let me encourage you, it's worth it. God never said that the journey would be easy, but he did say that the arrival would be worthwhile. Remember this, God may not do what you want, but he will do what is right and best. There's somebody here today came just to hear this sentence, and I really mean that. You came here today just to hear that, so I'm going to read it again. Remember this, God may not do what you want, but he will do what is right and best. He's the father of the forward motion. Trust him. He will get you home, and the trials of the trip will be lost in the joy of the feast. I want you again mentally to do another exercise. And I want you to think of the weakness that's in your home. I'm not talking about physical weakness necessarily. It can be physical. The weakness that's in your marriage, the weakness that's in your job performance, the weakness that's in your career movement, the weakness that's in your educational process. And ask yourself this question, am I willing to place that, figuratively speaking, at the feet of Christ and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to offer up my weakness as an offering to you. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll honor that. Because I purposely and personally believe that God delights in using and working in my weakness to demonstrate his strength rather than me saying, I'll take care of it, Lord. I'm adequate. I've got what it takes. I've got the capacity. I've got the wherewithal. We've got the skill set. We can deal with it. No, the Lord has more regard for the man or woman who says, God, I have nothing, but you have everything. I am weak, but you're strong. And God will work in your weakness to demonstrate his strength. I know that some of you have trouble believing that right now because it doesn't make sense. It's paradoxical, but it's true. Tiffany is from Seaford, New York, which I believe is on the south side of Long Island. That's where I found it to be. And she says this, when people notice other people's weaknesses, they try to break them down. When a drug addict goes through rehab, they go through a period where they're more vulnerable to get back on drugs or go back to drugs. When they get out of rehab and back to their homes, they're weaker and their friends, quote unquote, try to get them to go back on drugs. They continue to bruise the weaker side instead of building up the strong side and helping them change. If we treat other people like this, then we will get treated the same way. But by building people up, we allow them to see a glimpse of God. That's interesting. While building people up, we allow them to see a glimpse of what God can do. She quotes Ralph Waldo Emerson, who I know is a great author, but he's simply paraphrasing what Paul said, our strength grows out of our weaknesses. The more we strengthen others and ourselves with God's help, the less weakness we'll show. Well, I want you to do everything you can to hear parts 4 and 5 of this last message from the book of 2 Corinthians by listening tomorrow to CrossHope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. To listen to this message again or any message you may have missed on CrossHope, that's crosshope.org. People, she said, take advantage of people in weakness. God will never do that with you. Mark my words, he'll never take advantage of you. Like, I've got you right where I want you, pal. He won't do that. But God will take a weakness that you have surrendered to him, and he will manifest his strength. I said this in the first two services. I really believe it's true. This passage of Scripture has a past, present, and future component with people. What do I mean by that? There are some people this has a past component, meaning you're hearing me speak today and say, yeah, we went through that 2 years ago with such and such a situation. And so for you, it's kind of past tense. We went through something like that and God worked in our weakness. Other people, I had several people first and second service say, we're going through the deal right now where we need the message of 2 Corinthians 12 today. And I knew what they meant. They needed God to work in their weakness right now. But for some of you, there's a future component. Your life's going pretty good right now. Health's good. Money's coming in. Things are going pretty well. But the time will come when you will remember 2 Corinthians 12 says God demonstrates his strength through our weakness. And you'll say, I remember that. And that's what's happening in my life at that moment. It's a past, present, and future component. Where are you on the timeline of that illustration? Sheila is from New Hampshire. She said, almost 4 years ago, my husband of 28 years died. I felt that part of me died. And if it were not for a firm faith in the Lord, I don't think I could have carried on a single moment as a single mother through many challenges. There were floods and trees that came through our roof after a huge storm. children being sick, teens suffering depression, wandering in rebellion, friends who needed a home, and children who needed a dad who could no longer be there, job changes, many home repairs, which I'd never done before. Each and every challenge was difficult, but God sent help and finances just when they were needed. God provided when sometimes there didn't seem to be any way possible. The Lord longs for a relationship with us. It's the relationship I have with God that has allowed me to keep on keeping on. This all happened through prayer, reading God's word, and worship. Every time I felt I couldn't go on, God gave me a friend to help, a word of encouragement, or a new job to fit my schedule. All this was possible. And I find this intriguing right here. All this was possible because Jesus died on a cross so I could be forgiven and have my relationship restored to God. I find it intriguing, all the litany of stuff she says, and God's able to help me because of Christ's death on the cross. You know, everything's connected to the cross. Anything positive in your life is connected to the cross, whether you and I know it or not. Everybody in this room has forgiveness issues. Everybody does. You wonder about, am I going to be forgiven for that? Am I going to be forgiven for 20 years ago? Am I going to be forgiven? And we wrestle with forgiveness issues. And then we wrestle on the other side of the coin with forgiving people. There are men and women in this room in all three services struggling with, I don't know if I'm going to forgive him or not. I remember being on a Christian school playground years ago. Christian school. And just walking from one end of the playground to another, going into a building, and I overheard a conversation probably between two third or fourth graders, and one said to the other, I might forgive you, and I might not. I might forgive you, and I might not. There are 50-year-olds who are saying to a spouse, I might forgive you, and I might not. 60-year-olds, I might forgive you, I might not. And we dangle people over forgiveness. Maybe, maybe not. I just want to look at verses 9, 10 again. Verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. God's power comes upon me when I surrender a weakness to him. That's the message there, folks. That is why, verse 10, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. All your life, you thought it's all about you and your strength. I could do the same thing. It's all about us. No, it's all about God working through our weaknesses. I wish I knew more about this guy named Miguel from Miami. He writes he's a great writer. That's all I know about him, his first name, Miguel, Miami, Florida. He said, wherever destiny carries me to the realm of weakness, an inexperienced waiter on his first day at work, a slow senior citizen moving at the checkout counter, an undocumented immigrant daring to become like me, even a dying 33-year-old wife in a premature wheelchair, I try as hard as I can to embrace and rejoice in weakness. For weakness, the kind of weakness that allows dignity to be blown to pieces, is God's most powerful way of teaching me that strength is not the capacity to master limbs or muster resources, but the perceived need to organize my alphas in front of my omegas, my A in front of Z, the faculty to suppress my pride and self-importance, the insight to abandon my own self and to become weak and meek, just as my beloved wife on my soul's darkest hours uses nothing more than the strength of her God-given weakness, so mightily revealed. The strength of weakness is what I believe in. It's a paradoxical statement. The strength of weakness, that's what I believe in. Here's the question I want to leave you with. What has God done in your past to demonstrate his strength through your weakness? You know what? There might be somebody said, I don't know if I can remember an episode of that happening. Why not? You know why? If you can't think of that, it's because you've never surrendered your weakness to him. I'm going to ask you today, even this week, to think of a weakness in your life that may be physical, it may be emotional, it may be financial, it may be job-wise, it may be occupational, whatever the case may be, and say, Lord, in a spiritual gesture, I'm going to lay this weakness at your feet. I'm going to surrender it to you. And then, Lord, I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch as you demonstrate your strength in my weakness. Let him do it. Let him do it. Why? Because he can. And because he will. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us today about weakness. Most people in the United States of America, including myself, everybody here, we're big on talking about strengths. We talk about corporate strength and military strength and physical strength, financial strength, educational strength. Well, the list goes on and on. Today we're talking about weakness. In that when we surrender a weakness to you, something happens dynamically in my life. You demonstrate your power. When the word is dunamis, we get the word dynamite from it. You demonstrate your power in our weakness. Let that speak to somebody today, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there someone that you can think of right this moment that needs to hear this message from 2 Corinthians 12? Go to our website, crosshope.org. crosshope.org, to get them and to enable them to listen to this message. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Crosshope.
You've been listening to Crosshope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.